Yo, welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin, joined by the Bible scholar, Charles Leger, a.k.a. Granddaddy. If you're curious, we're just two guys looking to spread love, hope, and joy across the world by sharing with you the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it changed our lives. And we made this podcast so we could specifically show you how it's going to change and impact your life as well. So we aim to take this message across the world, and you can help us do that by going to anchor.fm/unchained. That's anchor.fm/unchained. And from that page, guys, you got three options. The first option is called More Places to Listen. Click it, guys, and then you can listen to us on your favorite podcast station. That helps keep us on the air. Or you can click the button right below that, and you can donate to help keep us alive. You can make a small monthly contribution, or you can leave us a voice message and tell us how this podcast has changed your lives. Thank you, guys. Hey, what up, y'all? Welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin. Again, no Bible scholar this week. Without that being said, we're going to keep it moving, man. I think this is week 7 or 8. I don't have it with me, man, but keep him in your prayers. He and I are going to reconvene this week. This will be the first time in a long time we're going to have a little bit more than just like an hour or two to kind of chat it up, man. So I'm kind of excited to spend time with my brother. But I know this is a different holiday season for most of you. My thoughts and prayers go out to all of you. Some of you have lost loved ones. I'm sorry for your loss. May the Lord God give you grace and peace throughout this time. Also, man, again, like, I hope you guys had a great Christmas. It was different for all of us, I know. But even with that being said, man, all hail the King as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this holiday season, man. But here's where the rubber meets the road, that we're now preparing for a new year. Those of us who will be fortunate enough to see it, man, I pray that this word that I'm going to bring to you guys today, I pray that it's going to fuel you. I pray that it's going to give you strength, motivation, and inspiration to go into the new year. I pray that you guys are going to have a renewed and a refined fire, going into the new year, man. I pray that this particular podcast is going to give you the spark that you need to ignite your 2021. So I pray that you guys carry this message into your new year, given that God allows us to make it into the new year. We can never say for sure if tomorrow is guaranteed, but as of right now, as long as I have breath in my nostrils and I got wind in my lungs and my heart is beating, I'm going to give you guys my best and bring to you guys the truth of the word of God in hopes that it will change, inspire, and motivate those who are listening. I pray that this word actually changes your mind, your hearts. I pray that it gives you desire, passion, fire. I pray that it changes those things in you that you thought were dead. I pray that this is a resuscitation for a renewed vision. I pray that this brings new life, man. I don't know where that came from, but anyway, man, like I said, I know this is a different holiday season. My heart goes out to you all. I'm with you. I'm going through this with you guys. But nevertheless, man, I want you guys to take this word. I want it to grow you, multiply you. I want it to stretch you. I want it to give you, vision, right? That's the whole reason why we do this, man, is to inspire, motivate, and change the world. That's the greatest gift I could ever receive, is that this word goes out and that it changes somebody, that it actually gives them new life. But again, this is just like the word of God. This will change your life. It will add to your life if you apply it to your life. You cannot hear something and expect for it to apply by itself. You have to put the words that you're given, what we give on this podcast, it has to give you it takes action, right? So if you apply this, is going to change some things in your life, because I know that I've applied what I've taught, and that it does change the trajectory of your life for the better. Now, that does not mean you won't have confrontation or opposition, but it will change your life for the better. I promise you that. So without further ado, man, we're going to get into today's word. I was going to go in a different space. I was going to talk about separation anxiety, but the Lord wants me to work on that one a little bit more before I bring it to you. That message and this message that I'm giving you today, called The Power of Insight, this is going to tie into a little bit what we discussed the past several weeks. This entire season, man, has been about fear or faith. And I think that the second season that we've been doing has been spot on. And I know that those who are going to be listening to this, you know, I don't care if you start at the very first episode or if you start at episode one of the second season, the way that God has laid this out, I promise you, this has been like the blueprint to increase faith. This has been the blueprint to eradicate fear. This has been the blueprint for God to strengthen you spiritually. This has been the blueprint for God to really change your mind supernaturally. This has been the blueprint for people to grow stronger in spirit and in truth. Because every single podcast that we've done, every single one that I've had to do on my own has come through divine revelation. We've never, ever done a podcast just to be talking. Now, sometimes it's gone all over the place, but it has always been Holy Spirit led. And this one will be no different, guys. So, again, that's just my prayer that Father God, I pray that this seed of truth that you are giving them, may it dig deep. May it grow forth. May it multiply and bring forth fruit so that it can produce more seed to be sown across the world. May this word, Father God, be the best word that I've ever given. May you spread it across the world, world through the airwaves. May those who are listening, may they share it. May they drop the link in someone else's inbox. However you want to do it, Father God, just do it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Before we get into this, guys, if you want to donate, I'm going to drop a link. I'm going to drop a link in the YouTube broadcast and in the Facebook broadcast and on on the Unchained.fm website. You guys can donate right there from the front page. So I think you can either do like 99 cents, $4.99 or $9.99. You can make a monthly contribution. So most of you guys spend it on a bag of chips or you spend it at Chick-fil-A. But what those contributions will do is it will actually help go toward, the podcast ministry, helping us carry this message across the world, because, you know, again, new equipment, Charles and I are going to have to get creative on how we're going to, do the podcast where he can be available. Although he's having to deal with a lot of family stuff, we do miss his presence. We do miss his knowledge and expertise, on the podcast. And the last time we tried to do it, the quality was not good. It was terrible. It cuts in and out. So we're going to have to invest in new equipment for that. Because again, Charles is the seminary guy, right? He's the word nerd. I go by direct revelation. I'm not saying Charles does not give revelation, but a lot of times, Charles has a unique way. His gift has a unique way of breaking what I teach wide open so you guys can gain more insight. That's just the way God has allowed us to do it. We just work better together. So, you know, a lot of that, what you guys donate goes toward us getting new equipment and stuff like that, man. So, we do appreciate all of you who are contributing already. Furthermore, another ministry that we're getting into, man, is we are going to try to create a safe haven for sex trafficked girls here in the U.S. That's something that the Lord has placed on my spirit. So anything that we're getting, we're trying to get creative in such a way where we can join and link arms with those who are trying to help the sex traffickers. Like, you know, here in the U.S., we're catching them at airports, and it's disgusting. I mean, we linked up with people before who have tried to put a stop to it overseas, where they actually built homes. You know, we work with I donate to an organization called Orphan's Hands, and I don't say that braggadociously, but, you know, I do that because there are little girls who are used and abused every single day of their lives. And what we do is we try to, build homes for them to go to, because when they're actually released from the foster care system, they're given just a little bit of money and a bus ticket back to wherever country they come from. And these girls, I don't think some of them make it to 18, or some of them are dead before 18. And man, it's a sad thing. And now this is happening in our own backyard. So, we want to try to put a stop to that too. But any other ministry ideas that you guys have, we just want to be a part, man. We don't just want to sit up here and just preach. We actually want to do something. We want to be of use. So we're putting our creative energies together so we can actually be the hands and feet of Jesus and actually carry out the good news that way, not just by me talking every Sunday. This is just for me to kind of, pour into you guys what God has given me through my own Bible study, which I tell you guys that all the time. But you guys are going to have different ways that you can contribute. I'll let you know how you guys can do that. Also, we're going to be creating some t-shirts and things of that sort for you guys to purchase. Again, some of the proceeds from that will be going toward the same mission. So I'll keep you guys posted on that. I'll keep you guys up to date, and I'll give you more specifics on how you can be a part, not only helping us carry this message across the world, but how you can also be the hands and feet of Christ and touch those who are out in the world, man. So, man, without further ado, we're going to get into the power of insight. We're going to get into this word, man. And I want to speak on the life of Paul. And I want to speak on the life of Paul in such a way. And I want to make it tangible. I want to make it relevant. I don't want you guys to think that, that everybody in the Bible or everybody who preached the gospel was some perfect person. I think that's a lot of times that when we think about those in the Bible, when we think about Christianity or following Christ, we think about it from a perspective of people being perfect. And I think this is why some people don't come to Christ, because they feel like they have to get themselves together before they meet God. And that's absolutely not true. You guys heard me say last week when we talked about, Mark chapter 5, how the man came out from the dead things. He came out from the tombs. He came out from the things that he lived with, those things that had no life, in order that he can find life through Christ. We went through several steps that the man did to actually get that life from Christ, right? We know Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. And this is what we saw from the man in Mark chapter 5. And I talked about that last week. If you missed it, go back and listen to it, guys. It was a very powerful message. This is going to be putting that same message in context, right? So, that's the story of a man who lived among the tombs, among the dead people, the burial caves, right? So now we're going to put it into context. Okay, so now we're going to meet a man named Saul, which we know in the New Testament later on as Paul. We know that Paul was a wretched man. Paul was very devout in his religion. But we're going to dig into Paul's life just a little bit so you can understand who Paul is, where he came from, and why he is the way he is, and how he obtained the power that he had after giving his life to Christ. Right. So we're going to start in Acts chapter 9, and we're going to read about Saul's conversion. And then we're going to go to Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to read a little bit in Galatians chapter 5. And I don't want to be long-winded. I do want to break this down in such a way where you guys understand it and where this word grows. And I want you to take this word into 2021. All right. So again, we're talking about the power of insight. So Acts chapter 9, verse 1 is where we're going to begin. Right. It says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. Right. Paul was a murderer. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. The way meaning the way of Jesus Christ, right? The believers of Jesus. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one who you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest anyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So, guys, I want to really pinpoint something, right? So Just like the men in the burial caves, we know that there was no life in the burial caves last week when we talk about Mark chapter 5. And we know that there is no life in being a murderer. We know that there's no life in being someone who persecutes the name Jesus Christ. Some people do not believe that. Some people don't even believe in Jesus. But we also know that those who do not have Jesus have nothing to bank on. Some people rely on bad luck. They rely on karma. That's just the way things happen, which that is not true. That's not true at all. What we're seeing in the story is we're seeing someone who is hell bent on anger. We're seeing someone who is driven, by religion, right? We're seeing someone who is acting impulsively out of anger. Okay, but I want you guys to understand that Paul was a man of great influence, right? He had a good reputation among religious leaders. That's why he could talk to the high priest and demand certain things. And so they were on the same page trying to put the followers of Jesus Christ on silent mode, right? They were trying to shut them up. They were trying to keep them quiet. And this is what we're seeing happen right now in real time as we're talking about Paul's life and him being on the way down to Damascus. He gets confronted by Lord Jesus himself. And he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And just like the man from the caves, when we talked last week, the first thing the man said when he hit his knees, he was like, Lord, please do not torture me. Now, I find that crazy because although he says, Lord, do not torture me, although they were both in a condemned state, although they were both being driven by evil, they both acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. Okay, so Paul is being he's being stopped in the middle of his life where he is bent on anger, confusion, rage, and he is killing people. But why? You know, we'll figure that out. We'll figure out why he's killing people here in just a minute. But I want you guys to understand that this is just such a powerful meeting where power meets power, right? We talk about an influential man in the name of Paul. He is being met by power, the son of God. He stops him on the way to Damascus. And one thing that that is crazy is that it says that Paul is blinded by this light. Now, there are certain types of light. Now, there is blinding light and then there's just light, right? You turn a light on. I'm in the house. It dispels darkness. It provides light to the room. But when you look at the sun, like, that is blinding light. But this is a different kind of light. When we read the word glory, sometimes the word glory in the Bible exemplifies like majesty or reverence or power. But this is a different kind of light where it talks about glory. Like, glory in another text talks about like the weight of presence, right? So the weight of God's light brought Saul down to his knees. When it says in the Bible that men fell like dead men in the presence of light, it's not just the light was brilliant and magnificent and shiny, but there was also a weight that comes with it where you are unable to stand in the presence. And I remember going to revivals, and there would be like an evangelist, and like he would preach the word so heavy, and the presence of God was so tangible that as this man was being used by God, as he approached you, there was no way you can stand because the presence and power that he carried, the presence of God that he carried, as this man would touch you, your knees would buckle like the weight of the glory. You were unable to stand. It was magnificent. And this is the same kind of presence that we see Paul experiencing right here. And there's this dialogue that is going on between Paul and Jesus where he is trying to figure out, which Jesus knew. He's like, why are you persecuting me? You know, and Paul is trying to figure out, you know, he's trying to figure out, you know, like, who are you? Like, I know that you're Lord, but who are you? And Jesus says, I am Jesus. I am the one in whom you're persecuting. And when we see this dialogue carry out, and we see the culmination of it, where Paul has to now go into Damascus and he has his sight stripped from him. Okay. And I believe that the Lord took his sight so that he can have insight. What do we mean? So where Paul before was angry, mad, bitter, and mad enough to murder people, he then goes into immediate prayer. So while Jesus is talking to Ananias, Paul is praying to Jesus, and Jesus is the mediator. He is talking to Ananias in the vision while he is also hearing Paul's prayer. So I can imagine Paul repenting in this prayer, or him being so scared or so out of his mind, like, yo, I was just persecuting this man named Jesus. I was persecuting him, and he's really Lord. He really is who he says that he is. I cannot imagine what that prayer sounded like, but he's talking to Ananias in a vision while Paul is in the background praying. So he's speaking to one, he's hearing from another, and what Jesus is about to do is he is giving Paul insight about, you know, he's giving Paul insight out of the sight that he had just taken from him. And sometimes I believe that sometimes the Lord will take something from your visual so that you can gain insight. Because sometimes you will not grow, you will not change, you will not transform until the Lord God removes something that you're used to having so that you can look inwardly for what you're trying to feel validated by outwardly. I hope that makes sense. So God will remove something that you're used to visually, that you have contact with, that is tangible, so that you can have more insight through the word of God. And this is what God is doing with Paul. Paul removed his vision so that Paul could have more insight. Because where Paul was not praying before, even if he was praying, now he's praying differently now. Okay? Instead of him praying out of rules and religiosity, he is now praying, more than likely giving thanks, more than likely thanking God for grace and mercy, because he knew that he was on his way to commit murder. He knew that he was on his way to continue to murder people who were praising and following the one who had just stopped him on the road to Damascus. Okay, so the power of insight is strong. And I read that Acts chapter 9 because, guys, there are some things that God will remove from your visual so that you can gain insight. Because as long as you can see whatever it is that you're used to seeing, whatever it is you're clinging onto for validation, for acceptance, to fill voids, when you're clinging onto those things, it creates space between you and God. And God cannot do within you what he wants to do in you because you keep using that thing, that person, that place to validate, or not to validate, but to feel what God is trying to feel. And God cannot share space. He does not share space. God is a jealous God. He wants all of you. He doesn't want some of you. And you think God is pleased with just some of you? No, you shouldn't even be pleased with giving God just some of you. Give God all of you so that he can do more through you. All right. So if you can, let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. I want to expound upon the statement Jesus made where he said that Paul is going to be used as my instrument. He said, Paul is going to be used as my instrument and he is going to suffer for my sake. He's going to find out what it is like to be persecuted. He's going to find out what it is like to live in fear for worshiping me. He is going to get a taste of his own medicine, so to speak. He's going to open up the door for Paul to experience those things in fear and reverence that he placed in people. He's going to taste it himself. So Galatians chapter 1, I want to read chapter 1 because we get a good picture of Paul's heart in this letter, and I love it. So I'm going to read chapter 1, and then I want to break it down, and I'm going to paraphrase it so you guys can understand it, okay? So God, please help me to articulate this the way you gave it to me. Let this sink in, God, the way that you taught it to me, okay? So again, guys, Galatians chapter 1, it says, this letter is from Paul, an apostle. He says, I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. All the brothers and sisters here join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia. May God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again that we have said before, if anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcome, let that person be cursed. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush to consult with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went away to Arabia and later returned to the city of Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother. I declare before God that what I'm writing to you is not a lie. After that visit, I went north into the provinces of Syria and Cilicia, and still the churches in Christ that are in Judea didn't know me personally. All they knew was what people were saying. The one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. So, guys, this is monumental. This is something that that really, really spoke volume to me. So we first have to start with the who we are so that we can understand the power of insight. First and foremost, you have to understand that you are called by the Father, the Son, and the power and authority of God, the Holy Spirit. This is what Paul says in his greeting. He says, this letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority. If he's not appointed by any human authority, then who was he appointed by? He says, Jesus Christ himself and by God, the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. How does he know that? Because it was Jesus himself who stopped Paul on the road to Damascus to meet with him. And he said, Paul is going to be my instrument. That is what Jesus himself said. This is the same thing that Jesus has said about you. You're going to be my instrument. Okay? He says, no person gives me the right or authority to preach the gospel, only the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These are the only ones who can give me the power and authority to preach the gospel. I do not have to wait to receive that by any human authority. You got me? Okay, so here's the what of it all. So we receive grace and peace through God, okay, through the Father and Jesus Christ, right? Jesus gave his life for our sins. And this was the plan of God. This was God's only way to rescue us from the evil world in which we live. This is also what he said in the greeting. He said, may God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. He said, Jesus gave his life for our sins just as God our Father had planned. This was God's plan from the very beginning, because when we see in Genesis what happened, the distance between God and man happened through our disobedience. So the plan was God had to give us Jesus so that we can be free from our sins, right? There's a whole nother monologue or dialogue with that. There's a whole nother backstory to that. And we talk about this a lot, guys, that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was a plan for our freedom, right? That's the way that I can sum it up best. So apparently we look at verse 6. He says, I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. He says, you are following a different way that pretends to be the good news. Okay, he said, but it is not good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. How would Paul know that? Because he used to follow those same rules. He used to follow those same laws. He said, let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. So now he is siding with those who had gone before him as apostles of Jesus. He is now preaching that same message, and he is now saying the way that he used to believe, the way he used to preach, the things he used to pray about, those are not real. He said those, he said that is a truth being twisted about Christ, because they were saying that Jesus was not the Christ. He was not the Messiah. And this is what he was persecuting beforehand. And so he is saying in verse 9, I say again, he said, what we have said before, if anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcome, let that person be cursed. And so he is saying, look, I don't care what you believe. Because in verse 10, he's saying, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. He says, I am doing this because of the revelation that I got through Jesus. He says, if pleasing you were my goal, then I would not be Christ's servant. Right. So if pleasing people were my goal, then I would not be a servant of Christ. And a lot of you, you do not have relationship with God because you're so caught up in your religion that you get caught up in trying to please man than you are trying to please God. And this is what Paul is speaking against. OK, so you move down to verse 11. He says, dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. He said the way that God has revealed himself to me, it has nothing to do with what you think. Do you think I'm here trying to preach you the gospel based upon what you think or how you should receive it? I don't care nothing about that. What I am preaching to you, I got from Jesus Christ himself. He says, I received my message from no human source. So which means that what I am preaching, you can't get from anybody else. You can't buy what I'm teaching you. You can't buy my revelation. You can't get my revelation from someone else. He says, I received my message from no human source and no one taught me. He said, instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. When? On the road to Damascus. He came down to me and he spoke to me. As a matter of fact, I was speaking to him while I was praying to him while he was talking to somebody else. God is so good and he is so omnipresent that while he is in somebody else's vision, he is hearing my prayers right now and he is speaking to me while he's talking to somebody else. That's how awesome my Jesus is. He says, I did not get my revelation from no human reasoning. OK, he says, you know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion. He said, you know what I was like, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews and my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. He says, I looked apart. He said, I did the ritualistic stuff. He said, I came to church. I handed out candy. I passed out flyers. He said, I served lunch. I did everything that looked like Christianity. I prayed in public. I ushered. I did media. He said, I did the stuff religiously. He said, I was perfect in the eyes of men, the way it looked. But he says, I was enthusiastic about the following of the rules of those ahead of me, the following of my ancestors. He said, I took on the traditions of the church. This had nothing to do with relationship. I was far ahead in my religion. It had nothing to do with relationship. So he says, and he says in verse 15, and yo, and I love this in verse 15, he says, but even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him. Verse 16, he said, to reveal his son to me so that I will proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being. You know what I love about verse 15 and 16 is that he says, before I was born, he said, God chose me, okay, and called me by his marvelous grace. He said in Acts 9, he said, I chose Paul to be my instrument. Okay, we know that Jesus, if you read in John chapter 1, Jesus has been here since the very beginning. So before Paul was even born, Jesus had already chose Paul to carry out his message, even when he knew Paul would be a murderer. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. There are plans of good and not evil. Right. Right. These are plans that have hope and a future attached to them. These are not plans for you to be suckered into somebody else's religion or laws or rules. Like, I didn't create you to go and follow somebody else's rules for you to live life the way that they say live. No, I created you so that you could carry out the message that I say the way you should carry it out. If you do what I say, I promise you, you're going to have a more fruitful life. You're going to be way beyond. You're going to have a more fruitful life if you do things the way that I say do them. Right? Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. But if you hold on to your life, you will lose it. Okay? He said, Jesus chose me before I was born. He called me by his marvelous grace. What marvelous grace? The grace that he got, because honestly, Paul should have been dead according to the law. Paul should have been crucified as himself according to the law. Paul was a murderer. So what grace, what mercy are we talking about? We're talking about this grace and mercy that Jesus displayed when he met Paul. Jesus met Paul in his worst state. And so Paul said, when this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being. He said, when this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being. Let me tell y'all something. You do not need any human being's permission to go and tell anybody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why would you wait on somebody else to qualify you to go and preach the gospel? That was the worst thing I could have ever done. Y'all think that somebody gave me permission to do what I do now? That was the worst thing that I could have done. I promise you, I waited. I was waiting on somebody else's validation to hand me a microphone. I don't need nobody else's microphone. I went and bought my own microphone. Waiting on some grown man to approve me to carry out the gospel of Jesus. I got tired of waiting on somebody else to qualify me. And some of you are waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting for somebody else to validate you or qualify you to do what God has asked you to do. And every time you wait, and the longer you wait, that opportunity goes to somebody else, because if you're not going to do it, he's going to call someone else to do it. Don't waste your opportunity waiting on some man or some woman to qualify you or give you the go ahead to go and preach the gospel. That's not what Paul did. He says, I didn't wait on somebody else to say so. I went and did it myself. He said, again, this is what we read at the beginning. He said, God gave me the authority. I didn't wait. I didn't consult with any human. And I'm not speaking on any by human reasoning. I'm in direct relationship with Jesus. So because I'm in relationship with him, I got the power and authority to do whatever he says I can do. Verse 17, he says, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. He said, instead, I went away to Arabia and later I returned to the city of Damascus. So again, he's reiterating, guys, look, he didn't go and get permission to go and speak the gospel. Like, he didn't go and try to piggyback off some other pastor. He didn't try to go and piggyback off somebody else who has some kind of authority in the neighborhood. He wasn't trying to shine off somebody else. Yo, be your own man. Be your own person. Either you got confidence in the word of God or you don't. Are you operating in the word of God or you're not? So, don't sit up there and wait on somebody else to validate you. Don't sit up there and wait on somebody else to give you the green light or to go ahead to do what God has called you to do. God has given you that ability. He's given you that strength. He's given you the power and authority to carry out his message the way he said that you can carry it out. And as long as you sit there and wait on somebody else, you're going to be ineffective. You're going to be useless for the kingdom. That was the worst thing I could have did, was sit up there and wait on some grown man to validate me to carry out the message. He says, I didn't consult with anybody else. I didn't sit up and ask permission. I didn't wait on some man to qualify me. Verse 18, he says, then 3 years later, he said, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother. He said, I declare before God that what I'm writing to you is not a lie. Now, what Paul is not saying, he's saying is he didn't glean from anybody. He's not saying that he didn't go and glean from anybody else. He's not saying that he didn't go and get coached or helped by anybody else. He's not saying that he wasn't going to get insight from somebody else. He's not saying that he didn't go and get sharpened. He didn't go and get sharpened by another believer. I believe that's how we grow as people. That's how we grow as brothers. That's how we grow as a church or as a body, as we sharpen one another. He's not saying he didn't do that. What he's saying is that he didn't wait to start. He didn't wait to go and do it on his own. He did exactly what the Lord told him to do. And he didn't wait on somebody else to do it. Because if you're waiting on some other man or some other woman to give you the go ahead, you're wasting time. Paul gained insight through revelation of Jesus. Guys, the word of God gives you insight to the power and authority that you possess through him. He tells you what you can do. God does not tell you what you can't do. He doesn't tell you what you can't do. The Bible says that with God, all things are possible. God said, if you ask anything in my name, and if you believe that you received it, it is yours. He didn't say, He said, whatever you ask in my name, go and ask your pastor. And if he says it's okay, then I'll give it to you. No, he didn't say that. I promise you, I actually operated that way. I waited on some man to validate me, and I shouldn't have. Yo, I shouldn't have. And do you know what I do? I stick with people who pour into me, though. He says, I went and I stayed with for Peter for 15 days. And I went and I stayed with James, the Lord's brother. I met with James, the Lord's brother. What he's saying is, yo, he said, I hung out with people who were the source. A lot of people try to become millionaires without going to the source. How do you become a millionaire? Yo, you do what a millionaire does. As a matter of fact, if you can, get on the phone with one. Okay? Get on the phone with one. They can tell you how to be one. You want to be closer to God? Yo, who do you know? Like, who do you know? I'm not talking about who appears to be. Who do you know that has a strong relationship with the Lord that you can go and talk to, that you can cling to, that you can glean from? He didn't go and just go and talk with everybody else and get everybody else's approval, because if he had done that, somebody else would have talked him out of it. He would have heard what man thought about him versus what God thought about him. He would have let somebody else talk him out of power and authority that he had to be who God called him to be. Somebody else would have ruined what God put in his spirit. Somebody else would have told him that he wasn't good enough. Somebody would have told him that his actions don't permit him to go and preach the gospel. Like, do you know how powerful that is? The fact that Paul was the way he was, the fact that, you know, even in prison and even in free, it did not change how we worship the Lord. And some of you end up becoming isolated. You are in mental imprisonment. Like, you don't even worship the Lord. Like, you bank on somebody else. You bank on somebody else to have you worship the Lord. Like, you bank on somebody else. Like, how do you become who you are waiting on somebody else to qualify you or giving you the inspiration and motivation to do it? Yo, we all need inspiration and motivation in some form or fashion. I promise you. But I cannot build your walk of Christ. That's for you to do. You feel me? So Paul is saying, yo, he's saying that, yo, I went and I got sharpened by those who were close to Christ. Those who saw him at his best. Those who saw him when he was scared. Yo, I went to the source. Those who really knew Jesus. That's where I went. I didn't go to any religious leader. I didn't go with those who believed in Jewish law. I didn't go with those people. He says, I promise you I'm not lying. Verse 21, he says, after that, I went north into the provinces of Syria and Cilicia. Yo, he went. That's all you need to do. Like, he went. He said, and still the churches in Christ that are in Judea didn't know me personally. I went where the Lord told me to go. And although they didn't know who I was, the only thing that they knew was my past. And they knew my past, and now they see that I'm preaching the same gospel that I used to persecute, and because of that, they believe God more. And some of you guys are not telling your testimony. We talked about it last week. Yo, your testimony is what helps other people become free. This is what we're talking about. Look, your testimony is going to help somebody else get out of the situation that they're in. He said, they praised God because they knew who I was. They stopped fearing me. They saw the word of God living in me. They saw Jesus through me. They don't even see me no more. They just see me speaking with power and authority. You feel me? Like that's what he's saying, is some of you are not being effective because you're waiting on validation from somebody. But I wanted to point this out, though. I wanted to point this out because it's hard for some of you to understand why we're going in this route in this direction. Because a lot of us have an issue. We have an issue with accepting truth. Right? Paul could have easily denied the truth, even in the face of it. So I'm gonna tell you why Paul was angry. And I'm gonna tell you why some of you are angry. And this is why some of you have an issue with coming to Christ. Why a lot of this world has an issue with coming to Christ. Paul, in so many words, says, religion made me angry. Religion made me persecute the church. And because of the way things go in church, you backbite, you gossip, you talk about others, you show contempt for others in the church, you don't give, you get mad at other people. When your pastor's not around, you talk about your pastor. When other people aren't around, you talk about other people. And sometimes when you're angry that way, it makes you a murderer. Now, why did Paul get angry? Because Paul spent his entire life believing a lie. He built his entire relationship with God. And you can't even call it a relationship. His entire religious experience based upon what others told him, based upon what others told him was truth. Now, the law was truth back then, and that's what they lived by. But now a new truth is coming to the picture. Right? The picture of grace and mercy and salvation. That is coming to the picture. And Paul is having a hard time accepting that. So you mean to tell me that if we had kept the law, we would have been perfect? Now, sometimes we think that we're all keeping the law and we're all doing what we're supposed to be doing. But Paul was sitting up here trying to be justified by the law while he was committing murder. So if we know that thou should not murder is one of the Ten Commandments, then how are you living by the law in the first place? Right? So what was happening was Paul was getting irritated and mad and upset because there's a savior that had come onto the scene named Jesus. And although Jesus was local, he didn't look like the picture of the coming Messiah that they talked about by the ancestors. And so here Paul is thinking that his works can get him to heaven. But there's a new man on the scene named Jesus Christ who says that grace and mercy, showing grace and mercy and love and kindness and placing no other God above the God in heaven above them and loving the neighbor as you love yourself. If you can follow those two, this is what gets you into heaven. How would you feel? How would you feel if everything that you believe since childbirth was a lie? Everything about you, how you were raised, how you grew up, how you love people, how you treated people, the way the rules that you were given, how you were brought up to live. What if all that was a lie? How would you react? Because the truth that we're sinners and those this is what Paul couldn't understand. Forgiveness. Forgiveness was for all. Salvation is for all. Anyone who was to accept Jesus could have grace and peace and mercy, salvation, eternal life. This is the truth that had come onto the scene, and it interrupted everything that Paul believed, because Paul grew up believing something entirely different. So now Paul is angry because Paul is now saying, if that's the truth and we're saved by grace through faith, then what am I believing then? That means I spent my whole life chasing a lie. I spent my entire life worshiping rules. I built my life on a weak foundation. The acceptance of men is what I built my whole reputation on. I gained power. I gained notoriety. I gained influence. But I had all that, but I had no anointing. I had all that, but there was no life after this, because what I built my whole reputation on was built upon man's acceptance. So this is why it got into my spirit. It's like, could you imagine how angry Paul felt? That he built his entire life on sand. Like, the presence of grace ruined my life, I believe Paul said. So because you threaten what I worship, I'm now going to murder you. And this is why people can't come to Christ, because the truth threatens what you worship. That's why people say stuff about church like all they want is money, because it threatens what you worship. You worship money. But the truth about money is that everything you should tithe 10% of everything you own, like, that is required. That's what the Bible says. That we are to give what God gives us. We give 10%, and that has nothing to do with God needing your money. That's about him seeing your heart. But because the truth about that, because it conflicts with what you worship, you get angry. Right? That you shouldn't watch pornography, because pornography, like that's disgusting. It's sexual immorality. Like that's sinful. That is something that it's still cheating. I promise you. I haven't met a woman who's okay with her husband, or a husband whose wife watches pornography. Like, yo, it's cheating. You are sexually committing an act based upon an experience, something other than your spouse is cheating. Why do people get mad about that? Because it confronts what they worship. You worship sex. So when people talk about it, you get angry. Oh, you're just being judgmental. Am I? right? A lot of times I deal with people who worship food. They worship alcohol. They can't put it down. They can't seem to not have a certain thing that that impedes their health. Their health does not get better. It breaks them down internally. But when I speak against it, I promise you, sometimes they want to quit. They go, oh, it doesn't take all that. I know if I work out harder, I'll get the results that I want. No, that's not what science says. You can't outrun or outwork a bad diet. That's been proven. And so as long as you keep these things in your diet, you're not going to get the results that you want. Why do they get mad at me? Because it confronts what they worship. And it makes them angry. It makes them angry enough to murder you verbally. And in some cases, it makes people angry enough to commit murder physically. So I have a question. Who have you killed in your anger? That's a question I want you to write down. Who have you killed in your anger? Because you've said some things, you've done some things when you were confronted with truth, and it caused you to be angry. And when you got angry, you went and you murdered somebody with your tongue. So let's think about this then. How many people or opportunities have you murdered because they brought you the truth? How many people have you dismissed because they brought you the truth? When somebody tried to tell you the truth, and they weren't being nasty or mean about it, they were just trying to tell you out of love, like, look, you're going down the wrong path. I want to help you. No, you're just trying to judge me. And you bypass the opportunity to become free from something that has enslaved you for years. How many of those opportunities have you passed up because of your anger? And how many people have you murdered because of it? How many people have you written off because they tried to tell you the truth or help you get help? And here's something else. Here's one that's going to be hard for you to swallow. Because if you're being honest with yourself, you have to answer this question. What truth do you hate? Anytime somebody talks about it, you hate it. You get angry. You get upset. You cut people off. You don't answer the phone. You go off. You slam doors. You leave the house. You get upset with it. You get confrontational. You get mad. You fight other people. You cuss people out. When there's a truth that rubs you the wrong way, you can tell that you hate it because of how it makes you act. So the truth you hate, guys, or the truth that convicts you, are the truths that you must confront. This is your key to success. This is your key to help you elevate in life. Is the truth that confronts you the most, the thing that you have to deal with, the thing you struggle with, that's the one that you must confront so that you can move forward. Guys, it's called the power of insight. This is a question that makes you dig deep so that you can move forward in life and you won't be bound by what somebody else says, that you won't be bound by this particular truth. Because if you accept it, you can elevate. If you accept it, you can move forward. If you accept it, then you can get past it. But it's a truth that you must confront. Because our anger is never really toward a person. Our anger is toward a truth that challenges our perception of what truth is. I'm going to say that again. Our anger is never really toward a person. Our anger challenges our perception of what truth is. It's never really directed toward anybody. You get mad at the person for presenting it, but your anger is not really directed toward them. It's directed toward the truth. But here's the thing. If you are resisting the acceptance of truth, it always causes an outburst of anger. When you resist truth, it causes an outburst of anger. I remember like back in my horrible days, my promiscuous days, and this is telling on myself, but if you want to judge me, I don't care, kick rocks. But when I was asked, hey, let me see your phone, I would get mad and slam that joker. I throw it, I go off, I cuss. I get defensive. Because there was a truth. I didn't want to be vulnerable to nobody, and I don't want you checking up on me. Even if I am wrong, so what? That's not for you to decide. It was a truth that I wasn't willing to confront. You understand? It was a truth that I was not willing to confront. It was a truth that if somebody asked me about it, I would be totally upset with it. Right? There was another truth where if somebody would ask me, hey, why did you miss church? Like, why is that your business? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of times we're confronted with truth, or when we resist it, when we exist exposure, right? It causes outbursts of anger. So when Paul was confronted with the truth about Christ, he began to murder people. He started persecuting Christians. He started going from place to place, murdering people. He wanted to go to Damascus and handcuff men and women and bring them back and change the murderer. So when it's that bad, guys, when the truth causes you to have outbursts of anger like that, it literally damages, like it puts more separation between you and God. Because anger unchecked always leads to murder. Anger unchecked always leads to a fallout of a relationship. Anger unchecked always puts you, makes you an enemy of God. Anger unchecked doesn't allow you to be vulnerable for change. Anger unchecked doesn't allow the anointing to fall upon your life. Anger unchecked will keep you from praying. Anger unchecked causes disconnect from the Word of God, disconnect from Jesus himself, and disconnect from healing. The key to advancement in life, guys, I promise you, it relies on choice when faced with truth, because I'm not certain that there is a right decision, just choices based on wisdom or exposure. Okay, because Paul is confronted by Jesus, and when he's confronted by Jesus, anger spirals more violently and out of control. So when you are confronted by Jesus, when you're confronted by truth, or when you're confronted by when a pastor speaking the truth, some of you, when this truth being presented right now, you may never listen to me again. But guess what? I don't care. My sheep know my voice and they will tune in every Sunday for the truth. But when you are confronted by truth, it will cause you to spiral out of control more violently than ever. This is why Paul went from getting angry to being upset to being mad enough to murder. Okay, upon confrontation, he chose to follow Christ. Christ confronted him on the road to Damascus. He had a choice to make. He could have been arrogant in the face of the Lord, because I know some people who get revelation of who Jesus Christ really is and will go back to their old ways. I've done it myself. He chose to follow Christ. He did exactly as the Lord instructed. Why? Because when you're obedient to what you believe, like obedience allows insight. Paul has his vision taken so he could see inwardly, guys. He was put in a position where he had to trust Jesus. How do I know that? Because when Jesus was talking to Ananias in Acts chapter 9, when he was talking to Ananias in his vision, he said, "Paul is praying to me right now." You cannot pray to something that you don't trust. As a matter of fact, you're not going to pray to something you don't trust. You're not going to give your heart to somebody that you can't trust. You're not going to put your money into something you can't trust. So why would Paul be praying to Jesus if he didn't trust him? He relinquished his ways for a life. Right? Eternal life, that is. Because Jesus told Peter that, hey, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. It would have only been a matter of time before Jesus would have intervened. But he intervened in such a way that showed grace and that showed mercy and that allowed Paul to turn his life around and to go back to those and to go to other Gentiles and other people who weren't believers, other people who weren't Jews. And he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ so they could have eternal life. So they can come out of their ways, so they can come out of their adultery, so they can get away from drugs, so they can get away from all these things that they were bound to. So it's not a coincidence that Jesus made the serum from the very venom. The antidote for snake venom is, serum for venom is made from venom. So like a snake bite, the thing that cures snake bites, like a venomous snake bite, is made from the very venom, guys. And this is what Jesus did with Paul. Paul was angry and he was bitter because he had been lied to his entire life. Some of you are going through life like, look, you've been lied to. Everything that you believe in, everything you are as a person, who you are as a person, you've been lied to and it hurts and you don't know how to handle it. And I know I didn't know how to handle it. I went through a part of my life where I had been lied to. Everything that I trusted and believed in was a lie. And it broke me and it made me angry. It made me angry enough. And I was killing people with my mouth. I was killing people with my attitude. I was talking to people in such a way where I was disrespectful. I was doing things to myself that I shouldn't have been doing. Like I was drinking and I was smoking. And, you know, I had, you know, gotten to this point where I was mutilating myself, drawing on my skin with blades. Man, that's a very dark past of mine. But yo, I did some things like I was hurting, man, because I've been lied to. Like nobody cared enough to tell me the truth. That it didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter like how the world saw me. God sees me. He knows exactly who I am. And he called me according to his purpose. He made me an ambassador of the good news of Jesus Christ. Like he gave me the power and authority to preach it. And everybody I come in contact with, man, throughout the years has made me believe that I needed to be qualified to do it. That's a lie, man. Paul said, Look, if you're going to do this thing, you don't need you don't need nobody else's approval. God has given you power and authority no matter what your past look like, no matter how dark your past is, no matter what mistakes you make. The grace and mercy that you receive, look, mercy's new every morning. You can't earn grace. You can't do, there's nothing you can do to get grace. Grace is a product of God's love for us. You can't earn it. It's not purchasable. You can't buy it on the shelf. You can't get it on Amazon, yo. This is a free gift. And woe to those who make you feel like you got to earn God's love. No, that's not how that works. Now, you can go above and beyond. Now, you can get more of God's favor through a physical sacrifice. Yep, you can get more of God's favor. Absolutely. You know, that's what fasting is for, man. And every new year, man, I pray about something I want to fast for, something that I want to do. It's a physical sacrifice that opens up spiritual doors. That's what fasting is. I'm going to say that again. It's a physical sacrifice that opens up spiritual doors. Yep, that's for God's favor. But his love, I can't do nothing to get more love. I can't do anything to make God love me more or less. You guys have heard me say that before. Like grace and salvation is a gift. Mercy is a gift. Mercy is God not giving me what I do deserve. There are a lot of things that I've done that's punishable by death, but Jesus already bore those on his body. So he took my punishment for me. That's why I serve him. That's why I serve him. Paul is not serving Jesus because Jesus told him to. He was grateful that Jesus didn't, look, he was grateful that he didn't receive murder for the murder that he did. When you experience the true love of God, it makes you want to serve him. It's not mandatory, it's optional. And we all have a choice to operate way above what we're called to do. That's a choice. That's a choice. Accepting salvation and grace, that's a choice. And so I just wanted to put that out there for y'all, man. The power of insight, man, it causes you to look inwardly, guys. Look inwardly. What is the truth that you hate? What's the truth that you're not willing to accept? Because honestly, that's the one part of your life where you see the most darkness. Is a truth that you're not willing to accept. That's where you see the most darkness. That's where you don't see the fruit, because you're not willing to accept the truth in that area. You're not willing to let the light of the Lord shine in that area. That's why you're not experiencing any growth, any freedom. That's why you experience lack. You won't give up that truth, man. What's the truth that you hate? Think about that. So that's my message for y'all today. The power of insight. I love y'all. Talk to y'all later. Peace.